Hi, it's Anthony LaPanta, play-by-play man for the Minnesota Wild and co-host of the Worst Seats in the House podcast. When not focused on hockey, I love to spend my free time in the kitchen. Before we prepare a great meal, I always like to get my supplies at Kowalski's. They're the best in the Twin Cities when it comes to fresh meat. Personally, I love the Akiyushi steak line. It's as good as you can get in the Twin Cities. I also love their fresh fish selection, and the knowledge behind the counter is second to none. It's a great spot for your fresh produce. It's always worth the trip wherever you are to get yourself to Kowalski's. When it's time to have a great meal, you might as well start with the best products. I do my shopping at Kowalski's, and I recommend you do too. It's Kowalski's, the joy of good food.
Welcome to the new and improved Chin Music, still with Roy Smalley, and we're welcoming in a new addition to TalkNorth.com, our friend Lavelle Neal III, a longtime baseball writer with Star Tribune, recently promoted to columnist. Lavelle replaced me on the Twins beat back in the 90s and has been slugging away on the beat ever since. And I hope this show reflects the kind of conversations that Lavelle and I and Roy and I and Lavelle and Roy and I tend to have around the press box. And we're going to keep it fun. We're going to keep it loose. And we'll provide even more Twins perspective from adding Lavelle to the network and this show. I think I'll also have Lavelle as a guest on my new show, Blocked and Muted with Jim Suhan, here sometime soon. My first couple of guests were Derek Falvey and Nafisa Collier. I usually start that show with a list of rants and observations, and then we do an interview. We got tons of good stuff all over the TalkNorth.com platform. Thank you for listening. Let's get right to it here, guys. The Twins, we're talking here on Thursday morning, and the Twins, as we speak, are in a lull, a slump, whatever you want to term it. What that has plagued them so far is a long-term concern for you. Let's start with Roy.
Well, I don't think there's anything necessarily long-term. I think it's other than, you know, if the real Mitch Garver is what we saw last year and so far this year, you know, that's a problem. He's a big part of the offense. And the reason they've been on this little losing streak here primarily is because they just haven't hit up and down the lineup. They've got a couple of guys that are swinging it real well and a lot of guys that aren't. So if you're looking long-term and you say, what about Sano? What about Garver? Then we're in a position where we say that's going to be a problem. They need everybody swinging the bats reasonably well. When you have a great season like they had in 2019, you have guys, you know, having closer to career years. A lot of guys hitting near the top end of the range, if a lot of guys hit near the bottom end of their range or break the support level to the bottom end of the range, then you've got problems. I think this is I think it's temporary, and I think they'll get that rolling. The first three losses or so that they had were, almost don't count for me. You had a loss in Milwaukee where the relief pitcher threw to the wrong base or else the game's over. And then right after that, you had the right fielder not catch a ball he catches, you know, 99 times out of 100, or, you know, and the game, if he does, the game's over. Then they have another loss where you put a runner on second base in the 10th inning, which I hate. And you have a pitcher pitching, throwing the ball really well through no fault of his own. It's like a guy hit a double and he's got to pitch out of that and not allow a run to score in the home half an inning to walk it off. You know, some of those kinds of things are fluky, but primarily I think the question is, are they going to hit the way we think they're going to hit? There are some guys not swinging it very well that need to do so.
All right, let's get to Lavelle, and I think Lavelle might end up mentioning the bullpen. We do want to thank our sponsors, Minnesota Propane, and Better Edge. And if you'd like to sponsor this show or anywhere on the network, you can reach Karen Cleary, the former Twins executive at KCLEARY at talknorth.com. Lavelle, your turn.
You know, I wrote right before the season started that it was kind of remarkable that the Twins won the division last year because Kepler had a down year, Buxton couldn't stay on the field, Polanco had a down year, and Sano was awful. And I thought for this team to kind of turn things around or at least show some improvement offensively, those four, that core, needed to step up, and you could also put Garver in that group. So that's five guys that all had kind of down or disappointing years last year. And you think about it, it's shocking that they actually won a division, given that all those guys really didn't perform up to their capabilities. So going into the season, I felt that those guys had to step it up and try to recover some of the form they had in 2019. And so far, we've seen Buxton have a terrific start to the season. Kepler, not so much. Garver, not so much. Polanco just started hitting a couple days ago. And Sano's been god-awful. I mean, it's a carryover from last year for him. And Rocco Baldelli, you know, has got to start either looking at himself in the mirror or just having someone punch him in the nose for putting Polanco and Sano back-to-back in the lineup when they were both struggling. Just two guys who just weren't getting it done at the time. I also thought the bullpen was going to be an asset this year. I really did. I like the quality of arms. I like the stuff that they bring. Hansel Robles throwing 97, 98 miles an hour, you know, I think is a great development for the bullpen. But they have had some hiccups. Cole LeMay has not been as stout as he was last year with the White Sox. And we saw in the doubleheader on Wednesday, you know, that you know, Duffy came in a tough situation with the bases loaded, but you know, couldn't get out of it. Got to believe that those guys are going to get a turnaround and become the strength that they should be. And Smalley's right. You know, the extra inning losses and the late inning leads, you can't put that on the offense. They were in position to win. It was like three games, you know, that they probably should have won. And this all looks differently. All looks different. I'm sorry. But to me, the lineup is not producing the way it should be, and it's because you still have a few guys who aren't swinging the bats.
So I just want to know, is it Smalley now? Is that where we're going with this?
I wonder if that might touch a nerve. Just call him Smalley.
Oh, wait a minute, is that wrong? Am I treading on some
Mr. Smalley? No,
I'm sorry, Mr. Smalley.
That's better, Neil.
People have called me Neil all my life because they didn't know how the hell to pronounce Lavelle. So
Lavelle's really complicated. It's two
syllables. So is Roy.
Yeah.
ask Joe Maurer's dad, who still calls me Lavelle to this day.
Oh my god. So and, you know, when you called him Smalley, I flashed back to Sandlot and Smalls.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, they called me Smalls on the team. So, you know, Lavelle, if you want to call me Smalls, that's fine. But I just wanted to remind you of my first name, just in case you had forgotten that.
I will
have one reaction to what you said, though, Lavelle. I think, you know, I think you're absolutely right. And it's what I, you know, it's kind of what I'm alluding to as well, as far as those five guys and needing to step up. I think they will, but from a team standpoint, as far as the bullpen goes, and even the starters, this is not a great pitching staff. It's a good pitching staff that's made great if they hit the way they're supposed to. This team is still built on offense, and they have improved themselves drastically, you know, throughout the pitching staff, starters and bullpen. But and I agree with you that, you know, we expected the bullpen to be better right away. I still think they will be good enough to, you know, to contend, plenty good enough to contend if they hit. But they're not going to be this is not going to be a team that's going to win 2-1, 3-2 a lot. It's just not going to be that team. And so, you know, every once in a while they're going to get knocked, you know, the starters and or the bullpen's going to get knocked around. We're just going to have to expect that. The guys are going to have to hit. That's the way this team's built.
Agreed. And let's get to Buxton Sinnoh. We've been talking about him for almost a decade now, and now there's a different reason to talk about them. We do want to thank our sponsors, Minnesota Propane Association.
Hey, I'm Laura Shera. Do you know what it really costs to heat your water, home, cabin, business? No? Well, guess what? We do. Based on the data from the U.S. Department of Energy, the annual average savings for homes that heat their water with propane rather than electricity is $175. You can save energy and get 2.5 times as much hot water compared to an average electric water heater. Let's save energy and money with cleaner, greener fuel, propane. The right energy right now.
And we'd also like to thank Better Edge, BetterEdge.
Hey everyone, it's Steven Strom, the host of the Strom Sports Show on TalkNorth.com. I'm here to tell you about Better Edge. Combine your love for competition, social, and sports with Better Edge, the sports betting exchange that actually gives back to its bettors. Better Edge is a brand new locally based betting platform meant to connect users and attempt to add some coin to the bank. Completely legal and 100% fun. Compete against friends, sports insiders, and yourself with Better Edge in a number of different sports and event competitions. Use the code STROM, STROM, for a free $10 when you sign up by visiting betteredge.com. That's BETTOREdge.com.
All right, well, we've been waiting for years and years, and now Byron Buxton, when he's healthy enough to be on the field, looks like a superstar. Roy, break it down for me. What is he doing that is enabling him to hit like this after all those years of struggling?
He's got swagger now. In his mind, he believes that he's going to hit in the big leagues the way he hit in A-ball. And he's doing things mechanically a little bit better. But the two major things are how confident he is that he's going to hit the ball hard. Every time he goes up there, whether he does or not, he thinks he is. And the second thing is, for whatever reason, and I hope this continues, but what's gotten him off to this start is he's not swinging at nearly as many bad pitches as he was before. That's partly mechanics and partly approach, mainly it's confidence. He's seen the ball well, and he's laying up. I've said this for 5 years. He's got to understand that he is a from the belt down hitter and just lay off high fastballs, whether they're high strikes or balls. When he recognizes not that he's not going to swing at those, when he recognizes that pitch and doesn't swing at those, he gets balls more in the middle of the zone and he tears those up. I mean, it really is not a question – even in my mind before, about him having an awful lot of confidence or mechanics problems, even though those are better now. He always just got himself in 0-2 counts quickly because he'd swing in a high fastball that is either a ball or one that he can't hit, and then he's swinging a breaking ball in the dirt, and he's 0-2, and he's got no chance anymore. And he just made it too hard on himself. He's making it easy on himself now by getting pitches that he can handle. And when he gets pitches he can handle, it's going to be pretty special.
Lavelle?
You know, the thing with Byron, too, is that I think the experience he has in facing some pitchers that come into play here, he understands how pitchers are working him and how to attack. Just from, listening to his interviews, after some of these games, he's talking about, well, I've seen this guy before. He likes to start people off with a slider. So I came to the plate ready to hit the slider. And I don't know if that was the case like a couple of years ago when he didn't have confidence, but I think that he has that now. And I think that's really, really helped him to attack. I spoke with him in spring training this year, and I know the 21 pounds of muscle he put on made a difference too. He said, I can tell that the ball is coming off the bat a little bit better. And, I think finally, because we finally he went to an offseason not having to recover from an injury. It seems like he's always been had this infatuation with trying to gain weight. Remember two off seasons ago, he ate five chickens a day or something to try to try to gain weight, and I ended up writing about it. It was pretty hilarious. But he finally went down back home to Georgia during the offseason and worked out the way he wanted to work out. And sculpted his body the way he wanted to sculpt it. And as Roy pointed out, he is swinging a bat with murderous intentions right now because he's got confidence and the swing looks outstanding and he's in the strike zone. The average velocity off the bat is like 97 miles an hour or something like that. It's sick. It's like one of the best in baseball. And once again, I don't know how many stolen bases Byron is going to steal. He's one of the fastest men in baseball, but he never gets to first base. Well, if he starts drawing walks, you know, maybe it'll happen then. But whenever he touches the ball, it's an extra base hit. You know, it's a double or a homer. And
problem to have.
I know. He still thinks he's going to steal like 30 bases in a season. I'm like, what? When are you going to be on first base? You know, you know what, Jim and Roy, I don't know. He is kind of creating his own category as a player because I don't know if you could compare him to anyone. I was talking with someone about this. I thought Buxton could be like an Eric Davis guy when he first came into the league, you know, get the 30 homers, but still like, you know, 40 or 50 bases, which ED could do. But he's totally different. He's like going to be this slugging percentage OPS monster. You know, what, maybe 20 stolen bases, and while be able to cover ground in the outfield and have a terrific throwing arm, and just wreak havoc with his bat more so than with his legs.
Well, the best thing the Twins did, Roy, is not try to turn him into a slap bunt to get on, you know, punch the ball through the right side kind of player. Because with this kind of bat speed, you got to have patience.
I agree.
Absolutely true. He's always had as good a bat speed as there is in the league. It was just a question of getting the experience and the mechanics to a point where he could use it. And you know, good for him for adding that much strength, because it increases the bat speed even more, which is it's you know, off the charts high, you know, as it is. So, you know, I think, Lavelle, you make a great point about, you know, when he's going to be on first. I will tell you that if, as part of the progression, as I mentioned about him laying off pitches that he, especially early in counts, that he ought not swing at, then if the next step in the progression is that he starts drawing walks because he's laying off pitches early on and people get, you know, start nibbling around, don't want to give in to him, if that were to happen, then he's going to be a 30-30 guy. There's no question. And then to your other point, which is another good one, there may not be he'll be compared to Mike Trout. There'll be different players, but it'll be that kind of impact player. That's the next step for him, because I don't want to anoint him as a 1,500 OPS guy yet. I mean, this is a nice streak he's in, and there's going to be some tough times this year, and we'll see how he bounces back, how he gets out of the slumps that are going to happen, because they are going to happen. But boy, we're seeing a progression here that's starting to get pretty exciting.
Who's going to win the first playoff game, Trout or Buxton?
Well, I think that this thing, Buxton's probably gonna have the first chance. Well, of course, we don't know who's gonna be health. I mean, my God, I hate talking about health. But I mean, that's where we are with Buxton. We see now what, and I wrote about it at the end of spring training. He's had entire months where he was this player, but they came buried in the middle of seasons where he was slumping before or after, or hurt before or after. So those months ended up not adding up to much. But he can do this. We know he can do this. The flip side, guys, is we're seeing the worst of Miguel Sano this month. And what I find interesting is, in the past, when I've seen Sano going through a stretch this bad, what they've done is they pulled him out of the lineup for a day or two, done all kinds of drills with him to get him, you know, to get his bat speed up, and then he's come back and crushed the ball. It's almost like they have so many people out right now that they can't afford to take him out of the lineup. What do you think, Roy?
He's always going to struggle with let me rephrase that. He's going to struggle until he changes his mental approach, in my mind. I mean, I've talked about mechanics and, you know, how his front side opening so quickly, trying to get the bat head out in front to hit the ball to left field, makes him vulnerable to just about every pitch they could throw him except for one. I mean, if they throw it where he's swinging, then good things are going to happen. But there's so many places where you can pitch to Miguel Sano right now because of his mechanics, but his tendency to open up quickly and too quickly, too soon, and try to hit the ball, a fastball a long way to left field. And when he's hit the ball well, it's almost like his approach is back through the middle. And again, we're not trying to make him a slap hitter. The idea is get balls that you can handle and hit them, use the middle of the field as a mental approach rather than, left field only. And he just looks like I'm getting on the fastball and I'm going to hit it hard and long to left field. And that's, when you're struggling like this, that's just that's a losing strategy. And even if he were to continue with these mechanics, there are some guys that can hit with a bit of a quick front hip. I mean, guys can do that. But from a mental standpoint, if you're not looking for the right pitches, if you're not trying to stay a little bit more, watch the ball a little bit longer, let it travel a little bit more, then you really don't have much of a chance. And that's where he has been for a little while. I will say that he's taken better bats. There are pitches that he's taken that I was surprised that he took them for balls, sliders, down and away, and he saw them relatively early. So it looks a little bit better, a little bit more hopeful, but I really think it's an approach, mental approach issue with him. I really think that he has to understand that center field for him is not all that much farther than the left field seats. I mean, he's just too strong, and I think he's really selling himself short by not being able to say, look, I'm gonna take fastballs on the inside corner for a little while. I'm gonna look for the ball out over the plate, and I'm gonna hit it over the batter's eye in center field. And if he would do that, you're gonna see home runs all over the field, and things. I think things would be a lot better.
When Miguel came into the league, he was pounding the ball to center, right center. Then teams started busting him inside, and he opened up a little bit, and he's never changed since then. And I wish he would go back to doing that, because that kind of kept him in a good spot where he could hit the ball more to where it's pitched. And that's not happening right now. The other thing that's baffling me is that he looks so overmatched sometimes, like 92, 93 mile an hour fastballs. He swings at them like they're 98. And I always wonder if he's not seeing the ball well enough, which I think Roy and I had this conversation before about him seeing the ball and being able to have the time to react to it. It seems like it's not there. He's going to strike out. I mean, he's made that clear, but he's having better at bats, as Roy pointed out, but he's not doing damage when he gets pitches in the zone. He is missing pitches in the middle of the strike zone that should still be traveling. And I don't know where he's at. I don't know what Edgar Varela, the hitting coach, is talking with him about. But he just looks like he's not himself, and it looks like he doesn't know. It seems like he doesn't know how to change or how to adapt or how to adjust to what's going on right now. And he's going to end up having a horrible season with a lot of strikeouts and a lack of production, and possibly lose his spot in the lineup. I don't want to start sounding an alarm. It's just, middle of April. He's got to finally make an adjustment here to give himself a chance, because it is not working. And the Twins need offense, and they can't drop him lower in the seventh right now. Rocco's giving them a shot to try to figure this thing out, but he's not making the right steps to give himself a chance at the plate.
Look, the reason that he's missing, I just got to say, the reason that he's missing the 92 mile an hour fastball, you say it makes it look like it's 98, and you're right about that. But the reason is his mechanics. And, when you hold your hands high like he does, And they have to come down a little bit to get your hands into the hitting zone. And if you combine that with the hip, the front side opening up early, the result is that you lose where the big end of the bat is in your hands. And the big end of the bat falls too far below your hands and you can't catch up. And if, I mean, 92, 93 is still, you know, a decent major league fastball that can take advantage of, you know, mechanics that aren't working. And I think it's hard to change mechanics. But the antidote to this in the short term, and this is where I said this a minute ago, but I really think that just an approach standpoint, take the fastball on the inside corner, you know, just for a while. Just don't worry about it. Hit everything else. If you're looking for the fastball middle in and he can hit that pitch thigh high or knee high, middle of the plate in, and he knows he can hit that pitch and that's what he's looking for, then right now that's about all he can hit. He's vulnerable to high inside fastballs, high outside fastballs, low outside fastballs, and any breaking ball they want to throw him. That's not good percentages. I mean, you trade one pitch for, you know, that you can hit for six that you can't, and you're not going to be successful. And so my own personal opinion is, you know, change of mechanics is one thing, but you can change your approach. You can say, forget the inside fastball. I'm going to look for the ball out over the plate and I'm going to hit it back, you know, through the middle and hit it as far as you want and as hard as you want. I'm not trying to say slap a single somewhere. But if he starts looking for the fastball out over the plate and immediately takes anything that he sees that's coming inside, then that breaking ball that looks like it's going to start inside and breaks away, he is going to be on. He won't be missing that ball because he's waiting longer. He's looking outside. And he'll follow the trajectory of breaking balls better. And guess what? It'll quicken up his bat a little bit if he looks for the ball out over the plate and tries to hit it that way. It's kind of a dichotomy in hitting, but the truth of the matter is the more you stress, the more you hurry to get the bat head out in front, the slower your swing gets. And that's what we're seeing right now.
In future editions of the show, we might talk bourbon. We might talk blues and other music and entertainment. Of course, we're in the heart of the baseball season now. So we will, this edition, we're going to stick to baseball. We have so much to talk about. Let's end this episode of Chin Music with Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal. Let's end, or as we call them, Smalley and Neal. Let's end this edition by talking about Rodon. You know, we had a no-hitter last night, and the cool thing was, if you tuned in to catch the end of it, you got to hear Steve Stone broadcasting it.
I missed the actual broadcast. I got home last night and found out that Carlos Rodon had thrown a no-no, and I was like, man, it's amazing, though. Stats show that the most no-hitters are thrown in April and September, beginning mm-hmm. and the end of the season. And here we got one in the AL Central with Rodon. Almost had a perfect game, but yep. With a plunking the guy, right?
And then back foot slider that caught a guy in the I'm trying to remember who the batter was. Caught a guy in the back foot, and I think Rodon was like mad that he didn't move, but you can't move your back foot when you're loading up to try to hit a pitch.
Yeah, you're right.
It was Roberto Perez, and I believe. And you know, it's just one of those things. You hit him in the back foot, and really, really too bad because that was going to be a perfect game. There wasn't anybody going to touch him. My thought was, where has this guy been? Because that's the kind of stuff he's got. I saw him when he first started pitching against the Twins. And when I first saw him, I thought, man, a left-hander that's got this kind of stuff, this is going to be pretty good. And he kind of disappeared and never really, you know, reached that promise. If last night's any indication of what he's going to do this year, boy, that Chicago Cubs going to be tough.
Yeah, they got a lot of young talent that is making advances. Although, you know, Eloy Jimenez is out because of the torn pec. But the pitching staff's got a lot of ability. They got Michael Kopech is back and healthy. He throws over 100 miles an hour. You know, they're able to let Colmey go because they had other arms they can plug in, and it's going to be a solid rotation. And, you know, as Tim Anderson likes to point out, you know, they're more athletic than the Twins. And so I guess he figures that on pure athleticism alone, The White Sox are going in division and pass the Twins. So we'll see.
Yeah, they're more athletic than the Twins. And Drelton Simmons is better than he is. And Byron Buxton, there's nobody can touch athletically. So, I mean, I think Tim Anderson needs to calm down just a little bit.
But yeah, it could be interesting. I mean, I think the White Sox are good enough to make this very interesting, especially if the Twins don't sort themselves out. I'll just say this. I know there's always panic in Twins land every time they lose a game. This isn't football. They're 5-7. If this were an NFL season, we'd be in the third quarter of the first game, and they'd be behind by like 3 points. It's not ideal, but it's nothing to panic about. They have problems they need to solve, but it's amazing to me, since football became the most popular sport in the land, how people will look at a baseball game and think it's a football game. It's not a football game. It's 1/16 of a football game.
Yeah, it's amazing too. And you look at our Twitter feeds during this time, and people are ready to jump ship and just go bananas over the fact that the Twins, you know, got swept by the Red Sox team that, well, they've lost 3 straight games. The Red Sox team that has won 9 straight games, they're rolling pretty good right now. And they got to remember, too, that they had 3 victories wrapped up, but kind of had late blow-ups by the bullpen. So it's not as bad as it looks. It definitely could be better. But, you know, this is a long haul here. It's April 15th. People are still trying to get their taxes done.
We got way bigger things to worry about, don't we? Yeah,
absolutely. Golly, let's sit back and let it play out.
Let's get a final thought from Smalley here. Thanks again to Minnesota Propane Association and Better Edge. And again, if you'd like to advertise with us, reach out to Karen. We do appreciate it. All right, Roy, final thought.
Well, Smalley says that the 5 guys that Neil mentioned early on have to swing the bat a little bit. And I think Donaldson's got to stay healthy. There's a lot, you know, I think health is the most important thing. I wish them great health the rest of the year. If everybody stays healthy, enough guys at the plate will figure it out. They're going to be very good.
Hey, this is fun, guys. I appreciate it. Great to have Lavelle on the show. We will all be back next week to tell you to calm down once again.
Hey, this is Michael Russo from the Worst Seats in the House podcast. Are you looking for great tasting clean water in your home or cabin? How about an AC or furnace tune-up? If so, go to my one-stop shop for water treatments, plumbing, and heating and cooling, Aquarius Home Services. Aquarius can be your experts for just about anything. If your water is too hard or has bad odor or tastes funky, they're the local authorized dealer for the revolutionary non-electric Kinetico water system. And if you need to get your furnace or AC running properly or a whole new heating or cooling system, they do that too. For more information, go to AquariusHomeServices.com or call 651-356-8542. That's Aquarius Home Services.com or 651-356-8542.